Blog Talk Radio.
John L. Brown, author and filmmaker, native of Lake Charles, Louisiana, is taking his expose on race relations in America, Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, to another level by doing a documentary entitled The Mentally Blind in America. The documentary will open the viewer's eyes to homelessness, poverty, hunger, the real rules of the criminal justice system, and other poverty-related issues that challenge underemployed, unemployed, and homeless people in American post-recession. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary, will enlighten people of color and people in poverty on how to restore their credit rating and expunge their criminal records. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary coming this fall. Real people, real stories. The Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, a documentary on race, poverty, the recession's aftermath, and more. Follow our post on Facebook's The Mentally Blind in America. The Mentally Blind in America.
Happy Easter, everyone. Happy Easter. I mean, happy Easter. Welcome to the talk show, Uplifting Communities, with John and Ms. J.
Hey.
Hey, we got someone so special for you guys until it's pathetic. But before we go on, I'm going to ask Ms. J if she would love to take the time to bring our special guest on.
Absolutely. I'm so excited about this show because, as you know, me and John are big advocates for children and education and things of that nature. So I'm excited to have Seth and his mother, Simone Lewis. They're both here with us today. Seth is here, and we're going to talk to Seth a little first. Then we're going to go into Simone. But, Zeth, are you there?
Yes.
How are you today? Hi, sweetie. How are you?
Good.
Great. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about your books and you?
When we go to the movie, Machado.
Yep. And well, when your mom wrote the book for you, were you excited? Did you like the books? And how did you help her put it together? Tell your story.
It was the last day of doing the movie, and I did it at Shadow. And first we go to the movie, and then we ate a big giant pizza, and I entered Shadow. My friend and we go to the movies.
That's what you do. You go to the movies. Okay. Simone, are you there?
Yes, I'm there. He's actually telling you scenes from the book, so he was retelling the story to you.
Oh, that's what he's doing. Okay. Well, Simone, tell the audience a little bit about you and a little bit more detail about Seth's books.
Okay. I've been an educator for over the past 12 years, and reading and children, definitely my passion. The Seth and Shadow series started because of Seth. Seth was in preschool, and as he was trying to tell you just now, he was always disappointed when he was never selected to be the student of the week. The student of the week would get to take home the class mascot, and they would get to document what they did with them, taking pictures. And I, as a parent, I would dread when Mondays came because I knew if he didn't get student of the week, he would be so sad. So I would have conversations with him about never giving up, you know, just keep trying. And it's very difficult for a child to get that concept unless you make it something that's relatable. And so once he did get Shadow, I spoke to him about, look what you did. You persevered, and because you never gave up, you got Shadow once and finally. And we documented it by putting together a whole book. And it wasn't until last year that I realized that maybe this book could be helpful to other kids because my niece and my nephew, they also enjoyed listening to the story. And so I went ahead and pursued publishing the book, and here we are today. The purpose of the book is to teach kids about perseverance. A lot of kids can relate to it because becoming helper of the week or student of the week is a concept that is in many preschool and elementary classrooms.
Yes. Yeah, my great niece always gets bummed out about that. You know, she says, I did really good, but she didn't pick me.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so the book addresses that, you know, that you may not get picked this time, but keep trying because next time might be your time. And even this year when he started kindergarten, the book was helpful because this year then they had helper of the week. And it was so funny because then I was going through the same situation. And so we started reading the book again during the night, and it became very helpful. Even his teacher said, she saw, oh, there's an improvement where he would cry first when he wasn't selected because we were reading the book and he remembered. And now he had a concept that he could relate to. And that's the key, having things that kids can relate to. Now, this is something that is meaningful to me. I can apply it to my current situation. And now I know that I'm not going to give up because I could be helper of the week.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And another thing, too, it gives the kids in school, in this class, is the opportunity to see that they can do something positive, too. You know, I bet his teacher is, since he wasn't getting picked, I bet the teacher is shocked.
Well, yes, she's seen an improvement, like I said, and she actually has a copy of the book in the class too, and so she'll read it with the kids sometimes. So it's been very helpful, and the feedback from her class, the kids enjoyed the book.
And that's major. You know, I think, and what I like about it as well, too, is one thing you brought up, something they can relate to. When you're writing sometimes as adults, you're writing in the adult mind frame.
Yeah.
And you get it because, of course, you have more life experience and things of that nature. But when you think about the little people, they haven't had any experience. So your experience is, you know, almost irrelevant to what they're going through because they're like, well, how does that relate to me, you know? And you hear a lot of people say, that's back in your day or, you know, that's a long time ago.
And
well, you know.
Experience, but in a different, you know, it looks different, but it's actually the same experience. I'm sorry, John, go ahead.
Yeah, and another thing that I wanted to say, too, about children, a lot of people don't realize that, is that we'll listen, to, you know, hear a child talking, which I'm all be quiet, go sit down in the corner. But you know one thing, kids have a vision, too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I agree.
Absolutely. And they have,
story. Yeah.
They're living
That's the right life.
So things have actually have changed, you know. For some of us old school people that have forgotten, things have changed. So there is some new things that we know nothing about. You know what I mean? There are some new challenges that we didn't have to face.
Yeah.
And so we need to be open to that change as well. One of the things I like about your writing is that you included the Common Core standards. You aligned it with that. Let's talk about that because I don't think a lot of parents know what that means and the importance of having that aligned with that so they can be used in the schools and different and you know organizations and so forth.
Sure, I have a background in reading. My master's is in reading. I'm pursuing my doctorate in organizational leadership, and I was previously a reading coach. So when I'm writing these books, I'm also trying to target reading comprehension and to prepare kids for what they're going to face in the future. Now, the Common Core standards, many states have adopted these standards, and basically they're the reading comprehension standards. So things like retelling, identified in plot and development. So in the book, I try and address that. There is also a teacher's guide if schools want to purchase the book, and with that, they get resources before reading activity, during reading activity to make sure that kids are comprehending, and then after, a final comprehension check. One of the things I also want to point out is that the book has coloring pages at the end. Now, that was the brainchild of Seth. Seth is my focus group, if you will. I run everything by him when we're writing the book because, as I said, he's my inspiration and he's the target group. So he'll tell me, Mommy, I don't like that, or what if we had a coloring book, or what if we did this? And the coloring book was a key component because it does two things. Yes, the kids are going to be entertained by the coloring book at the end, but if you think about it, while they're coloring those pages, they're reflecting on what they just read because each coloring page is a scene from the story itself. So then it lends itself to retelling or coming up with summaries, which is something that they will do in the future in those higher grades.
Absolutely. And I think that's brilliant. And I tried to mimic that to some degree because in my book as well, because I think that that's important that they have something they can go back and reflect on. Because, you know, they may, like you said, Seth, when he got in kindergarten, he forgot a little bit what he learned in preschool, but he's always got that book to pull out and go, oh, here we go. Because it's going to happen again in junior high. It's going to happen again. I mean, it's going to happen again. You know, it's part of life. Yeah.
It does. And currently I work with middle schoolers. And the thing is, these character traits, which is the goal of the Seth and Shadow book series, to address character traits, these are things that we have to ensure that our kids develop at an early age. So perseverance, self-acceptance. When they're not built at the beginning, at the ground level, it's very difficult to try and fill those gaps in because perseverance is something that I still have to speak with my students about. So this is a lifelong lesson. And what a great thing to start it at an early age with kids to have them. And Seth can explain to you what perseverance means. He does karate, and when he was trying to get his belt, again, I could relate back to the book and say, well, we're never going to give up. And he kept on going until he got his belt. And he would say, Mommy, I didn't give up. I did it. I did it. I'm proud of myself. So it's just awesome. Down on kids' level, and at the same time, it's embedding these vital character traits that they need.
Yeah. And it builds self-esteem.
Because if he's
proud of himself, he's going to go harder. He's going to welcome more challenges. He's not going to be scared of challenges. He's going to be able to make decisions. You know, it affects a lot in his life, in all kids' lives. You know, like you said, it's a lifelong lesson.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
You know what I like what you said? At the end of the book, you have color pages.
Yes.
And that came from Steph. That was his creation.
It did.
And, you know, and I got to bring this out. So, you know, a lot of us, we do things, you know, and especially once we get an adult, we do things and we want to do it ourselves. We don't get our kids involved. Even a young child, 3-4 years old, if they can talk and think, they can give you something. I mean,
absolutely.
Seriously, you know, because the reason I'm bringing this up, I've owned a business before. Okay, I had a medical supply. It wasn't a medical supply company where we dished out medical supplies, but I marketed products for medical supplies company, and the name of the company was Four Seasons Marketing Service, okay? And I got the name from my son. I asked him why he did that, why he gave the name. He told me because you do it year-round, and it's Four Seasons.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you see what I'm saying? And Steph, what I'm saying was Steph, the way he's thinking, where his targeted market is the kids his age. Culling pages. They love that.
Absolutely.
That's a bright young man. That's a smart young man.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah. And it is beneficial because kids, we have to do is according to their attention span. And a lot of times, their attention span may not be the first thing that the first thing he may go to is the coloring pages and backtrack to the reading book. I mean, it
which
depends on
fine,
the child, but they're still getting the same information.
Yes.
Pretty
How
awesome.
Did you get him to think that way? I mean, really, you know, I would like to know. And the reason for that is because we got quite a few people listening in, and it's Easter, whereas though they should be hiding eggs, you know. And so apparently this show right here means a whole lot to him. So how did you get your son to get to where he at and for him to write a book?
Well, what I do is I speak to my child. I don't belittle my child. I expect more from him than his age. And I think a lot of times we underestimate kids. Oh, they're five. They don't understand. And like you said previously, we don't take their thoughts and their feelings into consideration. So when I thought of doing the book, I did, you know, seek his input. And even when we go to do book readings, he comes with me to book readings. When we do book sales, he comes with me to the book sales. He's signing books too. You know, at first I think it was surreal for him because he would say to everyone that he saw with a book, "Hey, how do you have my second shadow book?" But now he understands what's going on. And the second book that I'm working on, he's helping me with that book also. He'll tell me scenes that he doesn't like, what he thinks should happen next in the selection. So just keeping your kids involved, speaking to them and accepting their response, making them feel as if you value their input. And I think that's the number one thing with Seth. He knows that I value his input.
Absolutely.
Could you tell the audience how Steph's age and where you guys from?
Seth is 6 years old, and we are from sunny South Florida.
Yes.
Oh, okay. And you say he's 6 years old?
Yes, he is six.
Wow.
Six going on 60 is my joke with Seth because he speaks like a grown-up sometimes. He was a little shy today, but he is a little smart young man for his age.
Wow. That's
pretty awesome.
Great.
You know, one of the things you mentioned is that you value his opinion or thoughts, or at least you honor him. And I think a lot of times we as parents, sometimes we want to get our point across, and so sometimes we forget to listen. And I think that's really an awesome point that you brought up, is that you listen. And I think that's really valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to let the audience know that you're listening to Uplifting Community Talk Show with John and Ms. J. And if you want to ask a question or elaborate on something, please press 1 and we'll let you in.
Listening online, you can dial in at 607-203-5336 and still select that 1 and we'll let you in. But, yeah, we really do appreciate it because I think what reason was I thought it was important to have you on is also the fact that your book is something that children of color can relate to. There's not a lot of books with us on it, you know, with our faces.
No.
You know,
no, there's not.
Especially in the school systems. And so that was one of the things that that I was really taken by and passionate about, that you had created something that can be used in the classroom that reflects a lot of the kids in the classroom, you know, or, you know, and they can relate to it. And I think that's really great to see something that looks like you.
It definitely is. And as an educator, I do see that deficit. In a recent research, I believe it was 2015, it showed that only 7.6% of African Americans were depicted in stories. So, and especially male characters, that's really difficult to find in children's books. In comparison to 73% of Caucasians being depicted in stories. So it's really good for Seth and other kids to see someone who looks like them and is going through the same situations that they're going through and being a positive role model.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is. It really is. And it's really good. And I really, you know, if you're a parent and you're listening, I recommend that you get the book. It's really a good book. I got it for my nieces because they're my inspiration. They're my muses. So, but I got it for them because I see the things. I hear the stories. And they're in elementary school, and I hear the stories. So I went, wow, okay, this is telling it you're telling the story better than I could tell it. You know, sometimes we try to explain like adults explain, but you explain like the babies can get it and
yes.
they can process it. And they go, oh, okay, auntie, that makes sense now. You know.
Yes, that's very
that's
important.
That's the key.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key.
Yeah.
That's
so
right,
really,
because, you know, since sometimes we think that, you know, we talk to kids in our language, even in
yes.
the schools. Sometimes
yes.
they try to teach in our language.
Yes.
But you can't teach in our language to a child 6 years old or 7 years old. You know,
exactly.
you got to use the, you know, you got to use the words and that they're familiar with.
Yes.
You know, really.
Yeah.
I think that's so great, you know. So how is it going? So you do have it in one school, his school so far, right?
Yes. We've done several book sign-ins. We actually have a book sign-in coming up this Saturday. And we have several events lined up. During the summer, we are also offering, if people are interested, they can go to our Facebook page and our Instagram page. That's Seth and Shadow Books. And they can contact us first to do summer read-ins for summer camps if they're in the South Florida area. And the book is available for purchase online at www.sethandshadowbooks.com. And it's also available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, and
all
I'll
right.
post that information at the end of the show. I think what's really important, I think, and John was bringing it up too, that is actually being used in the classroom right now by Seth's teacher. And so it is a book that can be used in the classroom. So, you know, even
yes.
if you're an educator or a teacher, you know, it's good to have a variety of books in your class, you know, because there's
mm-hmm.
always a different issue going on. So to have something like this for storybook time is awesome. You know, and if
yes.
you're a parent,
right.
it's awesome. Because sometimes mm-hmm. this can help you. It saves you a little time in trying to explain some things. Because eventually this type of subject comes up.
Well, what
it
is the
does.
Age bracket? The age bracket for the book? I'm quite sure, you know, anybody can read it and like it. But what's your target age bracket for the book?
But the target age bracket for the book is preschool through second grade. Third graders
okay.
Could book independently. And but then I would want teachers to beef it up with a little bit more rigor by adding more comprehension questions.
Yeah, that would make
sense. But the target group is definitely preschool.
Okay,
preschool
so
through second grade.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I wanted to know. Yeah, that's good. That's good because man, that's a great. A great age target because, you know, sometimes, you know, you got your Cub Scouts, you got
yes.
your Girl Scouts, you know, that would be an excellent, you know, book to where as though, you know, they can get for the Cub Scouts and the Girl Scouts and for them to read, you know,
yeah.
and
yeah.
listen to that story.
And also it's a great age because a lot of kids are starting sports and different activities. So they're also going to learn how to win gracefully, how to lose gracefully. You know what I mean? It teaches,
yeah.
it affects all that because that's just, you know, around that age my son was playing sports. So, you know, and sports sort of teaches some, you know, core values as well. So I think that's a great time, too, because they get involved in sports. Like John said, they have different organizations and groups. And they're not always going to be the winner. They're not always going to be the top dog. They're not always going to be the most favorite kid in the group. So this is great information.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, because a lot of kids, you know, especially when they get, you know, they get frustrated, well, then the first thing that they want to do is quit.
Yes.
Lost, yes.
yes. Right, Seth?
Yes, and that's the whole aim of the book. Like every book, it's intended to become a series. And the second book is going to tackle the issue of self-acceptance. And these are all stories that are inspired by something that actually happened to Seth. And so in the second book that's going to be released in summer, it's targeting the issue of loving yourself for who you are, and that I am who I am. And it's a great lesson now with what's going on in our country and around the world to let kids know that it's okay to be different. We're all different, and that's what makes us special. So
yeah,
every book is going to tackle some type of character development trait that, you know, we must instill in our kids at an early age.
That's going to be a great book, because acceptance is really major. And I know you're working with junior high school kids, and they're still trying to figure out who they are, what they are, where they
are.
So, you know, to get a foundation at an early age of understanding of self, man, that's major.
Yes, it is.
And to target kids from second grade on up to from kindergarten on up to second grade, that's powerful. That's very, very powerful, because there's nobody doing that, actually.
Right. I saw that there was a deficit in regards to that, because when Seth would come home when he was in preschool, I don't think sometimes that, like you both mentioned before, as adults, we try to get to the root of their problems. We're just like, well, you're crying, but nobody tries to figure out why he's crying. You're just whining,
right,
or you're just mad because you didn't become student of the week. But
yeah,
oh,
you're a crybaby. I hear other kids call, a little girl called a little boy today a crybaby. He's just a crybaby.
Right, but then when you have conversations, the kids will go deeper. They will tell you, but I feel like, why do I never win? I'm not good enough, or nobody likes me. There are those deeper issues that you have to have conversations, or, you know, teach them that, no, it's not a you thing. This is a part of life. There's going to be winning sometimes, and there's going to be losing. So, you know, I saw that there was a need for character traits to be taught at an earlier age so that we can try to prepare for what they're going to face in the real world.
That's right. Well, anyway, we only got 2 minutes left on the show, and I asked Ms. J to close us out.
Wow, it went fast. Well, first of all, thank you and Seth, Simone, for joining us today. I always like to ask our guests to have one positive thought before we close out. If you have a positive thought to share with the audience before we close out, I'll let you do that.
Well, thank you for having me. My positive thought for today is that you are the ruler of your destiny, and you decide how you're going to, what adventures you're going to create. And just like Seth and Shadow did, I want you to create great adventures that are super duper. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. John L. Brown.
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate Steph and tell them to keep the good work up. You know, listen to your moms, listen to your parents, your mom and your dad, your grandmother, your grandfather, all of these people love you. And remember this year, as you grow up in life, is that you have no choice of who your family going to be. But you do have a choice of who your friends going to be. So, in other words, keep it positive in your life.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, with that said, thank everybody for joining us this afternoon. We really appreciate it. Have a wonderful evening with your family. If you have family and guests, have a wonderful evening. And thank you for joining us. Till next time, thank you. Peace and blessings.
All right. Happy Easter, everybody, and good night.
Night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.